Hey, what's up? This is the convo for Monday, February 27th, 2023. NJ in LDN and the man, the myth, the magic, Michael Piaggiello in BUF NY. Another big trade from the Maple Leafs. We were going on all day on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/theleafsconvo, about Luke Shen being a part of the Maple Leafs. I said, book it. People made their comments. And it still may come to pass that Mr. Shen returns to the place where he started his NHL career. But for now, we'll have to settle for Jake McCabe and Sam Lafferty. McCabe and Lafferty to Toronto, to Chicago. You have a first conditional first round pick in 2025, a second round selection in 2026, along with Joey Anderson and Pavel Gogolev. We can say a... you know, some words of wisdom and a little in memoriam for Anderson and Gogolev, but let's get excited about the prospects of McCabe and Lafferty integrating themselves into a Maple Leaf lineup that needs more defense, more toughness. Mr. Augello, we told the masses that we'd do a show sooner rather than later, and here we are. Good evening.
Yeah, sooner being 24 hours later. So this is, I mean, it's not unexpected because we said that Kyle Dubas was going to make a trade for another defenseman or for a defenseman, excuse me. But I didn't think it was going to be McCabe because he had term on his contract and it was going to require a first round pick. Now, you know, teams are now extending into 2025 and 2026. It's getting like the NBA. I thought there was a limit in terms of 3 years out. So, you know, I guess teams are going to do that. And even though Kyle Dubas said in his media availability in Seattle today that it wasn't a reaction to the Tampa deal, it was a reaction to the Tampa deal. I mean, he said he was working on this deal before Boston made the trade for Dmitry Orlov and for Hathaway, and that may be so. He may have been having conversations with Kyle Davidson about this trade. But I'm sorry, you cannot tell me that the specter of Tanner Janot being added to the Tampa Bay Lightning and then basically giving up an entire draft, a 1 through 5 over the next few years, didn't have an effect on the Leafs, because I think they looked at that and the specter of the bottom six of being Janot, Maroon, Perry, Belmar, Ross Colton. I mean, you just keep going on, and that's not even including the top guys in that lineup like Stamkos and Kucherov and all those fantastic players. I mean, Kyle Dubas had to say, "All right, I have to go all in because I need to solidify my bottom six and solidify my defense." And this is the thing. And I saw that comment. Luke,
I don't want to distract you.
That's no, it's okay. It was going where I wanted to go. Luke Shen is a bottom pairing guy. No doubt. But Luke Shen is a physical defenseman. Jake McCabe has been a top four defenseman since he played for Buffalo. Right. My concern about Jake McCabe, and I've expressed this a number of times, is that he has had three significant injuries in his career: ACL, shoulder, and cervical spine, which he had.
Well, I think he took the guys who weren't banged up versus the guys who have been banged up. It's 50-50. You're limiting yourself to half of the league.
But the thing is, it's the perfect replacement for Jake Muzzin, because Jake Muzzin got hurt all the time. So there, you know, I mean, and that's not a criticism on Muzzin. These are the type of defense, you know, they block shots, they get hurt. I mean, it sucks. But is he a good defenseman? Yes. Is he a top four defenseman? Yes. Is he a defenseman that the Leafs need? Well, that's what Kyle Dubas believes. We'll see. I mean, I when I saw him in Buffalo, I thought he was pretty good, but that was before he had a lot of marks on him. Now, you know, he's 29 years old. He's a left shot defenseman. He probably, you know, he's going to slot in the top four, but whether they're going to put him with, you know, TJ Brody or put him with Liljegren, or, you know, he's going to play the left side. They have some flexibility with Brody being able to play on the right side. So we'll see how Sheldon Keefe plugs him in. As for Lafferty, he's having a career year. He signed for another year. So this is sort of like the Brandon Hagel deal that Chicago and Tampa made last year. Chicago got players and first round picks, and Tampa Bay got term. They got Hagel at less than $2 million for, I think, another 2 years. Here they have term on McCabe for 2 more years, Lafferty for another year. So these are not trading draft picks for rentals. Whether it gets them over the hump, we'll have to wait until the middle of April to find out.
Naughty 88 in the comments section. And this is for those who listen to the Leafs Convo on podcasts who don't get the visual. Mike and I are just effervescent. Look at us. Unbelievable. Scruffy old bastards talking about the Maple Leafs.
Effervescent.
So, yeah, you've saved yourself. You've saved yourself quite a bit of angst and ginned up animosity by looking at our two disgruntled old faces by just getting the audio of this. But we do have a live chat happening right now. Naughty 88, settle for McCabe, he says. He's a billion times better than Shen. Just so emphatic. And Mr. Naughty 88, Janot is not worth six pieces, not at all. Janot, like,
whatever.
Naughty 88, you're not making the deals. And that's the thing. Like, nobody's worth anything. I'm sorry. Nobody's worth anything. But, you know, these guys who make the deals have different things in mind than you do with your spreadsheet.
Yeah,
okay. Well, they want to win a fucking Stanley Cup, Naughty 88.
Well, this
Who
is
cares about your math.
This
Who
is the
cares?
Thing. This is the thing. Janot, he scored 24 goals last year. This year, I think he has 5. So he's not having the year that he had last year.
Right.
He was in the mix until probably February or early March for Rookie of the Year.
Right.
He's under, you know, he's making $800,000. This is where, you know, Tampa has, you know, they have the ability. They have all their players, all their homegrown guys locked up on long-term deals, Sorelli
right.
and Sergachev and their core guys, and they can play around with draft picks, and they find diamonds in the rough deep in the draft, like Perbix, who is a they traded for Cernak. You know, they get those players. They make those types of deals. Janot is a freight train. He's 6'2", 204. Mm-hmm. He hits like crazy. And though, like I said, when you add him to the guys who are already on that bottom six, I mean, I think Kyle Dubas just had to respond simply because he knew that his team would get run out of the rink physically. Now, I'm not saying talent-wise. I think Toronto is as talented as Tampa. But Tampa has that innate ability, that physicality. The physicality
right.
gap is there. And the Leafs tried to bridge that gap a little bit with Achari and I think with Lafferty as well as McCabe today.
How do you measure the pushback? Blocks, hits, there's more to it than that.
Yes.
Right? And that's the thing. Toronto Baghead on Twitter, a lot of people hate this guy. You know, he's causing shit and you need somebody to stir it up a little bit. Tampa, Paul, Maroon, Perry, Janot.
Yeah.
The Leafs have a nice crew of players. They're just a bunch of good guys, you know, they fit into slots. And the computer says, right, it's, look, Julian Breezeball might look like a complete maniac by giving up an entire draft cycle for a guy like Tanner Janot. But I'll tell you, that might not be a move that's, you know, solely born from his brain and his thought process. It could be coming from upstairs. It's like, look, guys, we got to get back to a Stanley Cup round, and we got to win this bloody thing, especially with the guys we got. We're not losing to that fucking team from Toronto. No way. Not no way. No how. And that's the thing, right?
This Tampa right.
seasoned enough to start taking leaps. Let's go. This isn't, well, you know, in 2027, forget it. Keep losing. It's time to build it up. And this is why there's an arms race happening right now. And I'm fired up about it. I love it.
Breezeball recognized, and he did it with the Hagel deal last year, that, you know, since he's got that core group and they're young enough to contend for a Stanley Cup, that you just keep adding to that group. They're going to probably lose a guy like Killorn in free agency this year, but they don't, you know, unless he agrees to take a cheaper deal. But I mean, they're just loaded for bear. So I think Toronto had to respond. I think they acquired Janot because Boston acquired Hathaway. They added Orloff in that deal. This is an arms race. You've got New Jersey getting Timo Meier. You've got the Rangers getting Tarasenko and Patrick Kane. Now you have Boston, Tampa, and Toronto all upping the ante. And, you know, I think you know, they, right now, I like the moves that the Leafs have made. I just don't know, again, whether it's enough. And it will not, we won't know whether it'll be enough. We won't know whether it's going to be enough until they play Tampa in the first round. If they lose, it wasn't enough. If they win, it was. That's honestly, that's the final arbiter of it all is win, baby. Just win.
So I'm not one to compound or jump on something someone says and, you know, have it metastasize into a whole idea or concept that really isn't based in reality. It's just, look, in the moment, this is what we're trying to accomplish. Carlo Koliakovo, Toronto Radio, suggested that winning a first round would be a success for the Maple Leafs, even if they get bounced in round two. There's a lot to that, right? Because this team has zero playoff success. The last round it ever won was, what, in 2004?
Yep.
2004 against, what, the Senators? And then
and then they lost to the Flyers.
Right. So, again, yeah, some can look at it like, look, we just need to get over that first round hump. And then after that, even if we do lose, you can measure it as a successful season based on everything we've done. However, you know, a lot of the Leafs contemporaries are thinking, you know, rounds one through four, and you'd never want to get ahead of yourself. But the thing about the Maple Leafs is if you get through the first round, then all bets could be off. Maybe it's over that hump. And then that mental block that stigma is withers away and these guys can take off. And maybe they were built through four rounds, two through three, and then potentially into the final go round. But they've got to get through Mount Tampa first. And again, that's why we're in the middle of an arms race. It's a beautiful thing. This is what it's all about.
Well, I've heard this comparison, I think it's pretty accurate. And most of the people in the chat probably weren't even born when these three teams were competing in the Smythe division. But if you remember Edmonton, when they won all their Stanley Cups in the 80s, Calgary, who got to a final in 86 and won in 89. And the third team in that division, which was overlooked, was Winnipeg. Winnipeg was a great team with Hawerchuk and Paul McLean and a few other players. And they could never get past either Calgary or Edmonton. They were up 3-1 against Edmonton in, I think, 89 or 90 and lost in seven games. But that's the whole thing. It's like three great teams in the same division, and they would beat the crap out of each other. But one team couldn't get over. And right now, until the Leafs can get over Tampa, that is the reputation. I they've brought in winners. They brought in O'Reilly, who won a Conn Smythe. They brought in Achari, who got to a Stanley Cup final in 2019. Funny thing is,
and Matt Murray has two Stanley Cup championships to his name. He's got two Stanley Cup plaques and two Stanley Cup pieces of hardware that he can put on a heavyweight championship belt. He won it twice. So again, it's nice to bring these guys in, but you want to still bring them in, not only with their pedigree and their experience, but still in a position where they can parlay what they've learned and what they've experienced into new experiences as contemporary as they need to be, as opposed to, you know, somebody taking, you know, kind of a victory lap or being there just for morale purposes. That's not enough. So Kyle Dubas has done a nice job in doing that. And as you say, Michael, it'll all come down to the first game of the playoffs and then beyond that and how far it goes. And it's crazy that, you know, you can make all of these adjustments. You can spend all of this draft capital. You can bring people in who could get injured or could go all the way, and you just don't know.
No, yeah, it's completely random. And if you think that the deal that they made today was to add playoff experience, Jake McCabe and Sam Lafferty have played a grand total of one playoff game. So, but that's not saying that they're good players. They've just been in situations in Buffalo and Pittsburgh and Chicago where those teams didn't make the playoffs. But they're good ads. Now, the question is now what does Kyle Dubas do now? Because he didn't close the door of them making another move. There is some question regarding Matt Murray and when he comes off LTIR sometime this week. whether he will activate them right away or whether they have to create space. And what they might do, and they might trade somebody off this roster to open up enough space, because they may have to go down to 20 players. Even then, it might not be enough.
What
So
would that be, Mike? Everybody wants it to be Alex Kerfoot.
yeah, it's not going to be Alex Kerr. I'd
What
be
about Justin Hall? Kerfoot and Hall, get rid of them.
well,
Completely.
I would be dumbfounded if it's Kerfoot, because he's so liked and he's so valuable in terms of versatility. I think if they trade, like, I would love it to be Hall, but it's not going to be, because Keith loves him. He loves the Now they've added some size on the blue line with McCabe, so maybe he would be dispensable now, and you could recoup some draft picks with Hall because he's a right shot defenseman. I think it's going to be Engvall. I think Engvall, with them adding three forwards in these two deals, Achari, O'Reilly, and now Lafferty, that you might be able to get away with trading Engvall and maybe recouping a third round pick or something like that, and clearing his salary, which is a little over $2 million. I think they may do that. They might still add something. They might still add another. Maybe Luke Shen is the target. Maybe they add an Austin Watson from Ottawa, who's a physical winger. And because honestly, I really believe this. If they don't have enough pushback, they will lose on that factor completely. If Tampa will run them out of the building with the guys that they have physically, they're not going to have Wayne Simmons and Kyle Clifford to play against that team. Their bottom six is Kampf and Kerfoot and
What are they
Engvall.
trying to do then, Mike? If this, we don't want this to devolve into a battle royale, but you want to get guys who can push back, not to start fights, but to push back against the bullshit that Tampa's going to bring. So, but what you're saying is, if you get into a war regresses to the trenches, the Leafs are fucked, right?
Well, no, okay. It's going to go there because of the way that Tampa has built their team. So here's the scenario. Okay. Nick Paul or Patrick Maroon takes a run at Austin Matthews. Who's going to respond? Michael Bunting? Because every time anybody like Konechny or I think Dylan Cousins in the Heritage Classic game last March, anytime Austin Matthews gets challenged, the only guy that comes to his aid is Michael Bunting, because
Why
he's a
doesn't Austin Matthews throw an elbow into this dickhead's face? Like,
well,
what is wrong with this guy? Like,
you
this
don't no
smart.
no you don't want your star player you do not want your star players to get involved in that stuff. Now, he can push through it, but he's not going to drop the gloves. And
Oh, no. Did
maybe
not expect for him to do that. Stand up for yourself. Like, the smiling? What are you smiling at? Who are you? Because the problem is, Mike, okay.
you don't want it. He's had wrist issues. You want him to.
Nobody's coming to his rescue. It's a disaster.
Now
It's pathetic.
that's the reason they have to have players who push back.
Like who?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They have to. I think they still need to get a player or two that does it. I mean, McCabe is not a wilting flower. Achari is a guy who hits, and there is something to team toughness in terms of
Right.
everybody sticking up for each other.
I
But
think that doesn't exist.
no, but I think in a playoff
I
scenario,
hope
it
so.
does. In the playoff scenario, it does. But when you have guys who are proactive, like Janot, like Maroon, like Corey Perry, you know what Corey Perry's like. He played in
They've
London.
all won cups. They've been around the block. So the thing for those guys is that this is a personal thing at this point. They're not just padding up. Like they realize that the clock is ticking on their careers. They've won cups. They've been around the block. They don't have to do this, but they want to do this. These other cats with the Leafs, they have to do it. They have no choice, or they're going to lose jobs, or they're going to lose face. And that's the thing. You look at the way these two teams are constructed, right? One team has the balls, one team has the pedigree, one team can skate like it's 6, 7 feet tall. The Leafs have potentially pound for pound more skill than Tampa, but they just don't have that bravado until they're able to stand up to this Goliath and take them down, not through just pretty passing, pretty passing in systems. It's not going to work. They're going in to the pressure cooker. They're going into the battle zone. And, can they come out with just a couple of goals and Austin Matthews smiling and Nylander looking pretty? It's not going to happen. But these Cats that wear the blue and white, the Maple Leafs blue and white, have it, potentially have it in them, right? And, you can augment the team. You can accessorize the team, bring more guys in, McCabe, Lafferty, O'Reilly, maybe Shen, whoever, right? Callie Johansson's out there looking for a job.
Go Owsley.
The core of the group, Mike. It's the core of the group. It's the core of the group that's going to get it done. It's the core of the group that's going to save Dubas's job. It's the core of the group that's going to save the reputations, Mike. It really is just comes down to them. And, between now and the rest of the 82-game schedule, what can these guys develop within that'll set them up for that for that a better chance of success against a team that's just waiting at the gate for them, right?
Well, here's an indication of what, and I keep going back to Janot, but I think it's definitely a factor. Luke Shen leads the NHL right now with 258 hits. Matt Martin, former Leaf, is second. You know who's
Right.
number four? Tanner Janot. Tanner Janot is number four. The recently acquired Noel Achary is 187 hits. He's ninth. Garnet Hathaway, who was just added by the Bruins, is eighth. If you don't think that that's a factor in the playoffs, you're clueless. It is. And when it comes down to it, you need these players who are just bastards who run people against the wall, who play physical hockey. That's how you win. Pretty stuff works sometimes, but you need guys who get and muck in the corners and do the work along the boards. And do you want a scenario like 2018 where in game seven, Zdeno Chara punches John Tavares and nobody knows about it and nobody does anything about it? That's what you need. You need pushback. And if you don't have it, you're going to get run out of the rink.
Oh, geez, Converse, thanks for being with us. 150 people in the chat right now. We will go to podcast in the next day or so. You can listen to us on the podcast platform of your choice. Make sure to subscribe to this channel. Most of our viewers, most of our participants don't subscribe. Why? Because you're holding your dear subscription to your heart, and we're just not worth it when you're back every bloody week. Give me a break. Just hit the subscribe button. I do the same thing with I'm on YouTube all the time, and there are situations where I'm watching I have it come up on my timeline. The algorithm knows what I'm looking for, and I'll watch and I'll be, oh, okay. And I haven't subscribed. You know what I do? I subscribe to the channel because I'm watching it and I'm supporting it. No one's asking you for any money. So please do us a favor, subscribe, show us the love that you always tell us that we deserve. Mike, the point's been made by a couple of the OGs and the converts, and where is he here? As a Jason M. Well, William Nylander always shows up in the playoffs. So, for Jason, that's a Stanley Cup win because 88's showing up, right? That's not
Well,
enough. All of these guys need to show up. And that's the thing. We can't be, well, Nylander did his part. He was nowhere to be found in 2019 when this team was up a goal after the first period of game seven. He scored on his own net. So, like this, he's always shows up bullshit means nothing. You
he
need
sure.
Matthews, you need Marner, you need Tavares, you need Nylander, all of these guys to lead the way with vim, vigor, the ability to score, and that in your face. Look, guys, we might be the underdogs, but we're coming at you. This, well, Nylander, he had a great playoff. That means shit. That means nothing. By the way, Nylander's not going to be a Leaf for life. Like, if you're a Nylanderite, the end of days for you and your fandom with this guy and this team, and I love him to death, is coming to an end because he's going to ask for big money and the Leafs aren't going to pay it. So this is kind of like a ride or die over the next little while for for this group and this team to kind of come together and forget about the individual performances. It's this team wins together or loses together, regardless of who does what individually. It's just not good enough. We've got to stop this divisive way of thinking. One guy does well, the rest of the team doesn't. So, hey, he did his part. No, I don't think so. Not at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I'll say about the core group, and at times Matthews has shown up, at times Marner has showed up, at times William Nylander, especially against Montreal, he was probably the best forward.